morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now, here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. We've been studying a lot on our journey from lust and anger to the garden in Genesis and God's telos for our life, you know, from glorification, and as well as learning that our task, our vocation is priests and rulers, and we see that that's what it means to be genuinely human. And then we looked at the life of Jesus as being the truly human one. And so today we want to talk about His invitation to us to be likewise. That one of the things that He invites us to is to reclaim our true identity as beloved sons of God, beloved children of God, to be truly human in the garden of creation. We talked about that, right, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there we go. So, the scripture I'd like to use to at least kick off our conversation for this morning's study is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. So, Russ, can you read that for us?
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him.
Very good. Very good. A familiar pericope to us. Any insights? Anything that you hear? Anything that jumps off the page to you? Slaps you in the face?
Invitation to follow.
Okay. Yeah.
And they just get up and leave, you know, their lifelong occupation for that.
Okay. So it's a change of occupation.
Leaving ourselves behind and focusing on the continual growth of becoming who He designed us to be, God designed us to be, co-laborers, co-owners, the continued creation process of what it originally was intended to be.
Okay. All right.
We have to make a choice, just like the four brothers and the father Zebedee made a choice. We have to make a choice also. Christ was calling them, and He's also calling us for the same reason.
What reason is that?
To follow Him and practice His ways.
Okay. All right. Good.
Practice discipleship.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're going.
They were fishermen. I mean, it's kind of, you don't think I said that you want to call fishermen to come follow you as far as your religious setting.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting a little closer there.
He called the ordinary people. He didn't look for prestigious people or anything like that. Plus, like, back then, most people tried to get the rabbis, tried to learn from the rabbis, but they approached the rabbis. And when He approached everybody else, like, it was just flipped.
There's this great reversal taking place, yeah. Very good. Very good.
You can be a teacher, learn from Him, and to also become teachers, to bring in more people.
Yeah, we'll see.
Teachers of the people.
Yeah, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28, He'll tell them to go out and make disciples. Good. All right, excellent insights. Good start. Probably touch on quite a bit of initial comments there. Let's do a little parallel comparisons, okay? Matthew and Mark both use the same story, right? And it is the calling of a couple fishermen, which, as Mike said, and maybe a couple of you others, they renounce everything. They're renouncing family. Imagine being old Zebedee there. Come back! Right, boys are leaving the business, so they're renouncing occupation, renouncing family, renouncing everything. Right now, it's got to be quite an intriguing invitation to renounce everything. Now, gentlemen, being members of the Lenawee County Mission's Life Change Program, part of what we're doing in that program for those suffering from addiction is we have renounced our destructive lifestyles as addicts. Listening audience, they are all nodding their heads yes. All right. So part of accepting the call, the invitation to follow Jesus, is about this renouncement. I think Matt and Russ's insights on to who, as fishermen, Jesus approaches and invites to follow and be members of his community as a prophetic denouncement of the establishment. The most prestigious position within Judaism at the time is to be the rabbi. And obviously these men, I'm sure their fathers would have just been elated to have their sons be rabbis. They didn't quite make the cut. Jesus then comes to them. So as we said, typically you take the student to the rabbi. Here the rabbi is coming to the student. And Matt's right, he's calling fishermen, which means that their occupation is not one of power and prestige. It's a good laborer's position. That in itself is a prophetic denouncement of the cultural norm in which they find themselves. Now, to call somebody and say, renounce everything, I'm not sure that even flies much in our culture today. I mean, if you look across the country in which we live, and we have Western Christianity, are we really renouncing everything?
Nope.
You know, it's an interesting observation. But if you're going to follow this Jesus, you, in this time, day and age, obviously he's going against the norm of his religious establishment. Disciples go to the rabbi. Here the rabbi is going to the disciples. That's a great reversal just in the religious establishment. To call somebody to renounce everything is dangerous, because we're going to reverse the status quo. And in Jesus' time, the status quo is the Roman Empire. We may argue today, many Christians may not be renouncing everything because maybe there's some sort of empirical incentive, empirical fear. And then you had those subservients of the empire who happen to be of the religious order, known in the gospel text as the scribes and the Pharisees. If you're going to follow this long-haired Jew from Nazareth, you're going to come across some opposition. But let's think about this calling. When he says, come follow me, renounce everything, he's really saying, come be with me and be like me. Let's be community. It's a new community. And that's what's consistent with what we were starting with, our whole journey from lust to being priests and rulers. Why Paul would look at Jesus and say, this is the truly human one. This is the truly human that Adam was supposed to be. Thus, this is the new Adam. And so when he invites us to be part of this community, this new community of which it was originally intended to be, he's inviting us to be truly human. So Matthew and Mark have the same call to discipleship story. Luke's is a little different. It's in chapter 5, and it's the one where Jesus, people are following him already because he made this great announcement in chapter 4 of Luke of what his mission was, and that's to preach the gospel to the poor. A lot of people are following him. He's got to get onto a boat, and this is where he says to Peter, push on out, fish again. Peter's like, professional fisherman, you're not right. Been out there all night, I'm tired. But if you say so, I'll go. And then after that, Jesus says, Peter will respond, I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, don't sweat it. Soon you'll be fishing for people. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke then have this illusion that you're going to be fishers of men, fishers of humans. Almost that you, as disciples, you become rabbis who go out in, like Matthew 28, Mark said, to what? Make fishermen. That's interesting because biblical scholars will tell us that both Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referring to Jeremiah, who talks about fishing for men. Amos, Prophet Amos, and Ezekiel talk about fishing for men and hooking fish. All of them are talking about judgment on the imperial establishment. This isn't talking just about saving souls. This is talking about starting a revolution. So Jesus' invitation, come be with me, come be the revolutionary community that advances, extends the garden in which my father began back in Genesis. It's here. He calls it the kingdom. So it always challenges us, gentlemen, are we disciples of culture or disciples of Christ?
Well, I think we're trying to become disciples of Christ.
Okay.
And trying to break away from being disciples of our culture.
Yeah. So when we talked about tending the garden, remember that conversation there, Justin?
Yes.
Mr. Green Thumb, you? Sometimes we have to do some pulling the weeds, right? Which we could see as non-violently resisting and being actively engaged in injustice, eradicating injustice. Injustice is the presence of the weeds in God's garden. Because if we're building a community of shalom, we need to have the presence of justice. Well, when we think about discipleship, what do you think about? What do you think about when it, if I ask you, you're in a discipleship program, so that implies that your disciples are those who learn, right?
Serving others, too.
Okay, yeah.
Learning what weeds are that are inside me to stop me from being of the culture and becoming a disciple of Christ, doing what's right at the right time for the right reasons. Instead of, because I've done new things that I can have a thought and do something the right, but end up doing wrong, you know. And need to rectify that and become flower to get them weeds out of me.
Yeah, so if you have Matthew and Mark, I'd have the same pericope. Luke changes this a little bit, but if you jump over a couple chapters in Luke, in chapter 9, he's going to start talking about the seriousness of this call. To change your life, in a sense, he who saves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will save it. Are we really renouncing everything? Because then right on the heels of that, he'll talk about the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Okay, if we're going to renounce things, you might be homeless. And he has one guy who says, let me go back and bury my father. Now, in the Jewish tradition, the eldest son needs to stick out with the father until the father is actually deceased, and it's his responsibility to properly bury him, and then disperse any type of estates and all those type of things. Jesus is saying, let the dead bury the dead. He who looks back, he or she who looks back, in other words, if you've renounced stuff and you look back at it, if you are drug addicts and you look back at your drugs, you're looking back, right? Jesus says, you're not fit. So when you talk about sacrifice, he's talking about some pretty serious sacrifices. So much so that when we look at John's version of the call of the disciples, it really kind of comes towards the end a little bit when he says to Peter, there's going to come a day they're going to put a belt around you and take you where you do not want to go. Maybe there are positions of employment we don't want, but God wants us going there. Maybe we don't want to surrender our drug of choice, but God wants us to. These type of things. And so we have to start realizing that there's a relationship between being a disciple and discipleship. If you think about within both of them, there's a concept of discipline. Who trains for a marathon and then doesn't run the marathon? Who runs a marathon without training for it? That's the relationship between discipleship and discipline. You discipline yourselves to run in discipleship. You just don't jump to discipleship without any discipline. Now, the difference between the analogy, the athletic imagery there, and real true spiritual discipline is something like this, that in athletics, what you're really trying to do is get the body to follow the mind. In spiritual discipline, what you're really doing is trying to create a space in which God leads mind and body. So I don't know if that kind of helps what you mentioned before we go on the air on this idea that sometimes we just think that if I can think the right things, then I can make my body do the right things. Well, who'd you just exclude?
God.
Yeah, that's just me. And gentlemen, that's why we've never been real successful on overcoming our addictions, because somehow or another we think if I could just change my mind. And I said before we went on the air, we've all had good thoughts, but our behaviors, our bodies have never really followed that. So the true discipline that Jesus is inviting these potential disciples to be is how we create space for the presence of God in our lives.
What we learn how to correct also comforts us to where we can teach others maybe going through the same things, comfort them and lead them in the way of Christ too.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.